I honestly think Pep needs to change a little bit of tact. You haven't got Rodri, you have to stop playing through the middle as much, because teams are pressing you to death and they're giving up way too many chances.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, Munster count the cost of Sunday's Ireland A International. Stephen Kitsoff is forced to retire from rugby. And All Blacks legend Ma Nonu has returned to duty in the top couturiers. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, Gary Ringrose is to learn of his Six Nations fate later this week. The Ireland centre will face an independent disciplinary committee on Thursday morning via video link following his 20-minute red card against Wales. Ringrose was initially yellow carded by referee Christoph Ridley on Saturday before that was upgraded to a 20-minute red by the TMO bunker. The three-person committee will be chaired by England's Matthew Weaver and also contains former Springboks back Stefan Terblanche and ex-Leicester player Leon Lloyd. Depending on the length of the ban, Ringrose's hopes of playing in Ireland's remaining two Six Nations fixtures with France and Italy could be dashed by that committee. On Monday Night Rugby, the Irish Times' Gerry Thornley and Andy Dunn gave their view of the 20-minute red card as a rule.
I'm an opponent of it. I'm a stated opinion. When they introduced it, I thought it was a knee-jerk response to the Sam Kane red card in the World Cup final primarily. I thought it would have been backed by people it shouldn't have been backed by. And I think it's a bad look for the sport when you're trying to eradicate headshots from the game. But I must admit, what happened at the weekend has given me food for thought. And particularly that the way that Sam Warburton presented such a fair case for the introduction of 20-minute card, that this is what it's for. You can only prove intent by cross-examining the culprit. You can't really, you know, only the culprit knows. When it's a head-on-head shot, it's reckless for sure, but there's no way that's intentional. There's no way that's as bad as Romain Entomac leaving his shoulder on the head of the same unfortunate Ben Thomas. That, if you catch an opponent with your shoulder on his chin or his head, it's more dangerous and potentially there is more, you could claim there are grounds for it being less accidental than if it's head on head, because nobody wants to hurt their own head. So I do see now why that became a 20-minute red card. It did make it a better game. And of course, Warburton does speak from experience, having suffered a red card in the World Cup semi-final himself. It's still going to be that Gary Ringrose will get a ban. He's probably going to miss the French game and most likely the Italian game as well. So he's going to pay a high price for it. And the game didn't suffer a permanent red card, which would have disordered. Like, you think back, let's be fair. The England game last year, was it at home? Sorry, 2 years ago, when Ireland won the Grand Slam on Paddy's Day. It was discoloured by the fact that England got an early red card in the match. Let's be honest about it. It didn't feel quite as satisfying. So I'm still against the idea of it as a look for the sport, but that's given me food for thought. What do you think of it?
I feel like that guy in the Fast Show from about 20 years ago who's like, who agrees with one point and then agrees with the totally opposite point about 2 minutes later. Because I was fully in agreement when you started talking and then you changed my opinion and now I'm all confused.
So well, that's where we both are then. There's two of us.
I suppose if I had to make you hold a gun to my head, I think it's a bad thing. I think a red card should be a red card in sport.
You can hear lots more from Gerry and Andy, as well as Brian O'Driscoll from tonight's OTB, James Tracy on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, and later in the week, Hugo Keenan, by becoming an Off the Ball member. Now, Munster say Shane Daly requires a scan to determine the severity of the hamstring injury he sustained on Sunday. Daly was stretchered off the field at Ashton Gate during Ireland A's defeat to their English counterparts, and the Munster coaching staff are not believed to be optimistic about the injury. Ollie Yeager suffered a foot injury in the same game and he too requires a scan. Tom Ahern is completing the return to play protocols this week after failing a HIA in Munster's last outing with the Scarlets. Jack O'Donoghue, meanwhile, does not require surgery after picking up an ankle injury in the same game. In even better news, Dermot Barron has passed all of his HIA protocols after taking a blow to the head at Ashton Gate. Prop Jeremy Lockman is back in the mix ahead of Friday's game with Edinburgh in Cork, having been out since October with a hip injury. Alex Nankivell could also make his first appearance of 2025, having returned to training this week after a hamstring injury. But Munster remain without Dermot Kilgallen, Thakir Abrams, Mike Haley, Craig Casey, Dave Kilcoyne, Roman Salanoa and Jean Klein, among others. And there's still no white smoke, of course, regarding a full-time replacement for Graham Rowntree. But John Ryan, who signed a new one-year extension this week, says the limbo is not affecting the playing squad.
To be honest, the players, we've kind of almost sheltered ourselves from those conversations. It was quite
quite a turbulent, I suppose, when it did happen, and we had to go straight off a probably unsuccessful South African tour, but a lot of people have had that, but into that All Blacks game with a change of coach. So that was, I suppose, there was turbulence there, but we kind of really have to focus on the next game and let the higher ups kind of sort that out. There's an element of burying your head in the sand, I suppose, because you need to think about the next game. But yeah, we've just moved on and concentrated on the rugby side of things, and I think at the moment that's going well enough for us.
Springboks head coach Razi Erasmus says Stephen Kitsoff will always remain a warrior and a fine ambassador of what the Springboks stand for. The loosehead prop has been forced to retire from rugby at the age of 33 following neck fusion surgery. Kitsoff sustained the injury to his C1 and C2 vertebra playing for Western Province in the Currie Cup in September of last year. He underwent surgery to fuse the bones in question in November, with confirmation coming this morning that his career was indeed over. Kitsoff retires, a two-time World Cup winner with the Box, starting in their 2023 victory over the All Blacks at the Stade de France. He won 83 caps for his country and also had spells in the club game at both Ulster and Bordeaux. In a statement, Kitsoff described winning back-to-back World Cups as probably the biggest achievement of his life. Connacht head coach Pete Wilkins fears Byron Ralston could face a lengthy spell on the sidelines. Ralston sustained a knee injury during Connacht's friendly with Harlequins last week at the Twickenham Stoop, while Sean Jansen picked up an ankle problem during the Ireland A game on Sunday, and Wilkins provided an update on both players today ahead of Connacht's URC return against Benetton at the weekend.
Yeah, look, they are ruled out at this stage. Yeah, I think Sean Jansen, his ankle coming back from Ireland A, is probably bounced back in these 24 hours better than it might have seemed whilst he was away with the Irish medics. So we're optimistic there, but he definitely won't be in for this weekend. Byron could be a bit longer term. Again, we're waiting for the scan in the next 48 hours, but he's hobbling around on crutches, so definitely won't be involved for a period.
Staying with Connacht, and Cian Prendergast will be observed this week, having been forced to miss Ireland's win in Cardiff through illness. Ben Murphy sustained a fractured finger during that ill-fated Ireland A outing, while hooker Owen de Butler is now out until April after thumb surgery. And with JJ Hanrahan confirmed to be returning to Munster at the end of this season, Wilkins was asked today about their potential recruitment of a replacement at out half.
Yeah, well, it really depends what happens with our current stable. We've obviously got the three senior tens there at the moment with JJ, you know, Josh Ioane and Jack as well, of course. So look, we're working through things with Josh and with Jack, and we'll see where we get there and whether there's a need to go outside or not. You know, at least we've got the clarity now on the JJ situation. I would have loved for him to stay, but you know, he's made a decision that he feels is right for his family at this stage, and we respect that, and you know, we'll work through the rest of it over the next couple of weeks.
After Ashton Gate claimed a number of Leinster backs at the weekend, Rob Russell has made a timely return for the URC leaders. The winger is available for selection after finally recovering from a hand injury he sustained during the Emerging Ireland tour of South Africa late last year. Russell hasn't featured for his province since the opening round of URC fixtures in September, but now is in contention to play against Cardiff at the Aviva. However, scrum half Cormac Foley will miss that game with a calf injury. With Kieran Frawley picking up a head injury in Bristol, Ross Byrne confirmed to be leaving for Gloucester at the season's end, and Harry Byrne still out on loan. Attack coach Tyler Blaindall says this week proves the need for squad depth, particularly at 10.
You can always have a surplus in any position, and then you seem to get hit with, say, an injury crisis at one particular position, and you're scrambling for high quality players. So the frustration comes, I guess, when you're not getting opportunities or game time. And we've probably seen that with the 10s that were in the building, especially through the start of the year. So, you know, you get a few injuries and maybe guys are out for a short or an extended period of time, and it's always great to have high quality players that you can roll in and keep the game flowing. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, you can't always have that luxury, but I feel like we had that with the 10s.
Finally, Ma Nonu has returned to top level rugby with his former club, Toulon. Now 42, the All Blacks legend has been signed as a medical joker, having joined his former club a fortnight ago to observe the work of the coaching staff. Former Munster centre Antoine Frisch is out for 3 to 4 months with a broken leg, which has led to Toulon director of rugby Pierre Mignoni turning to Nonu. The two-time World Cup winner will actually take the place of Charles Olivon in the Toulon squad, with the back rower's season definitely over with a cruciate ligament injury. Nonu is now in his third spell with Toulon, having departed for San Diego Legion in 2021. Mignoni insists Nonu will not play every game, but he can have an impact on their squad, who currently sits second in the top 14, and will play Saracens in April in the Investec Champions Cup Last 16. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you with thanks to Bank of Ireland tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.